The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
It's like, this is where your chance to, you know, find a system where you have these periodic updates. And, you know, maybe it is afterwards, after an event, that you send the note to say it was great chatting with you. And maybe you also send the same or similar note on LinkedIn to connect with them, because then you can watch activity, because they may post something or say something that gives a chance for sort of a serendipitous kind of a conversation. And you can get to know them more. Are they a cup of coffee person, or do they want you to send them articles? Like, what is their communication preference? So you can send it that way. I think it also behooves us to remember that well before 2020, we all had messy, complicated lives. And some of us, you know, you want to get together with people when it's really meaningful, and other times little touch points in between work just well. So where is your holiday card list? Where is your, you know, remembering sort of milestones? Where is the times where you're just like, you know what, I remember this time of year we always did X. I'm just going to let them know I'm thinking about them. But your idea of a newsletter, those kind of updates where someone, it gives the other person, you know, kind of keeps you top of mind and gives them the chance to reach out when it's something that sparks their imagination on why they need to.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work. And they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit BeinhackerLaw.com, or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
I'm Kelly Hoey, author of the book Build Your Dream Network, and I'm out to make sure you think and approach networking differently.
All right, Kelly. So thanks so much for joining me on the show. I think we connected through like Matchmaker or Podmatch or... Right? One of the...
I think it was Matchmaker FM. That seems to be a good site for folks looking to be...
I think it is. Yes. I heard about it from... Who did I hear about it from? Somebody else. I think that I met through Podmatch. And then she told me about Matchmaker. And so it was giving me... I think Sarah St. John, she's got the Frugalpreneur. Yes. She's always giving out free resources. You know who she is? Yeah. She's giving out free resources and cool stuff. All right. So I do want to get into your background, and you'll tell us about, you know, how you got to where you are. But also, I had said to you off the mic that we're going to talk about networking today, because your book here, I'll hold it up with my new background, right?
Ooh,
Build Your Dream Network, which is awesome. And so I started to read your, let's see, what is this? A networked career. I guess it's kind of like your intro, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it said, very interestingly so, if you're reading this and dreading another book about how to work a room or hand out business cards, while munching on chicken I think it's satay actually,
You can relax. Randomly schmoozing is not what I'm talking about here. I hate walking into rooms filled with strangers, and I actively avoid hors d'oeuvres served on a stick. Haphazardly circling rooms filled with strangers is old school and counterproductive. I'm not in sales, nor am I an extrovert, so I avoid what I call random acts of networking, which I think is great. Calling it that. If I could find a better word to use than networking, I would. But for now, my goal is to change what you think that activity is, and more important, how you go about doing it. And I think that a lot of people don't get it. They don't get what networking is about, with the difference between prospecting for business and networking with people to grow your connections, right?
Right. We're so stuck in a very old modality. Like the number of people in a survey who said, did they do any networking last year? They said no, because they still think of it as attending a conference or going to a chamber of commerce and handing out a business card and sending a pitch deck and that.
Right. And I guess unless you stay in a closet for a year, nobody can say no to that.
Well, that's exactly it. That's why you need to rethink and reimagine what it is and what it can be. And I know you'll appreciate this. My career started as an attorney.
There you go. And you're a recovering attorney. You told me that.
Yeah. way back in 1991, when I came out of law school, realized that there was an inherent tension in the profession I had chosen to enter.
Right.
One side was you got to be at your desk billing hours. The other side is you need to build relationships. Well, how do you do that when, if you spend too much time with one and not in the other, you have to get the balance right.
No. They're contradictory. They're opposing forces.
They can be if you assume that relationship building is just, power lunches and sporting events.
Right.
But if you start thinking about networking as being, asking your client how they are before you leap into the edits on a prospectus.
Right.
All of a sudden, you can build a relationship. And so I had to look at that time, all right, where are all the places I can build relationships? And just saying hello to someone, remembering, little details about their life, that opened up relationships. And there are people from, I'm going to say way back in the day, mostly from the time I was practicing here in New York City, clients when I stopped practicing law, Mitch, back in, let me think, 2002. There are clients from that time period to this day who are still in touch. And actually one of them picked the cover for my book.
Oh, there you go. I like that. So yeah, but it's about building rapport and relationships and maintaining those relationships and keeping in touch. That's a huge thing of mine too. People don't keep in touch. I run into somebody that needs a certain service and I'm like, who was the person that told me that? Because I'm not on their mailing list, or they're not reaching out to me, or they're not sending me information, or they're not pinging me or sending me a text or whatever. And I think that's a lot. So I want to go back a little bit. So you practiced law, and then in 2002, you're like, ugh, like a lot of us say. And then you didn't just like say, I'm going to be a networking expert, right? I mean, this was a process. So take me through the metamorphosis of
So I left from the active practice of law into law firm management and built out the professional development women's initiative, and then moved into marketing and built out the alumni program for a global law firm.
Okay. You were in management or administration at that point, right? Yeah. It's okay.
The other side of the ledger.
Right. Know? Somebody's got to run the firm, right? Yeah. They forget that sometimes.
And it was when I was building out the alumni program for this firm, I got involved with the Global Business Network for Women. And part of that for me was purely strategic. I had been given this responsibility to build an alumni program and was given absolutely no resources to do it. So I had to find a model of community, sort of bottom-up community energy to maintain a network, because I didn't have the top-down kind of resources.
Okay.
If you think of networking,
you had to go out and find it, right?
If you think of networking as, you give them, incentives. Well, I didn't have any incentives.
Yeah.
I didn't have budget for parties and lunches and dinners. I had Zippos. I was like, all right, let's find another model. And when I was really active in that women's business group as a member trying to decipher their DNA, the founder of it called me and said, who are you? What do you do? You're asking some really great questions. How about coming and working for me? And that was like an unexpected hour-long phone call. You know, when I was sort of had been active in the network for probably 6 to 8 months.
And was he in New York?
She
was in New York?
Yeah. So okay.
You said it was a global network. You could have been like, listen, move to Switzerland. We want you to run the organization.
Damn, that would have been nice, eh? But no, it was, you know, Greenwich, Connecticut was my commute. I had the reverse commute from New York City to Greenwich, Connecticut.
That's funny.
So I did that for a year, and that really expanded my network. I then got quite involved in the startup community, co-founded a startup accelerator, became the intern CMO for an emerging tech company, and then finally stopped and said, what's the common thread here? And
yes.
That's what led to doing what I'm doing now.
Well, did you see, like I see, that a lot of people just, like you were doing it right? You're networking with people, but you meet with people and you're like, oh, this person doesn't get it. Like they don't understand what networking really is.
Oh, all the time. And, you know,
yeah.
I used to get frustrated, and now I'm sort of look at it, Mitch, is this is lifelong employment for me at that point.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with law. I don't want to fix all the businesses. I wouldn't have any work left to do. So yeah, it's ironic, right?
Yeah. But, you know, and you know, think about the name of your podcast, The Accidental Entrepreneur. I mean, when I think about being a lawyer and then particularly then my role in law firm management, that was that laid the foundation for being entrepreneurial now, because, you know, relationships, building relationships so you have that pipeline of work, whether you're an associate or a partner, is essential. How you get out there and market and advertise yourself, so to speak. And then when I was in management, where I was, you know, I think everything I was given was massive, I'm going to say priority projects with the most limited of resources. So it was always for me thinking, right, how, you know, in sort of
start. You're going to bootstrap this, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. How do I hack a solution to this one? Who's got money? Who's got resources? How do I build relationships internally within the firm so that I can reach milestones? Because, you know, I've been handed a paperclip and a stick of gum and told to make something massive. And I was like, all right, how do I do this?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are, look, we've seen a whole shift in our economy, right? So there's a lot of people that are solopreneurs. Mm-hmm. They're, and I don't necessarily use the word accidental. They got kind of pushed into it. You know, their company laid them off and they're like, you know, I haven't been happy in a long time anyway, or I was going to retire in 5 or 7 years. So I'll make this transition. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's this barrier to entry. If you go and you educate yourself and you read, you know, your book and you coach with somebody who's known as networking, I mean, there's a lot of people I've met over the years, you can become better at what you do, but a lot of people don't. And they shouldn't be an entrepreneur unless they're going to put the time in, you know?
Well, exactly. In terms of that risk that you need to take. But I also think, even if your intention is to stay within a company or firm or organization, you have to think entrepreneurially about your own career in terms
of good point.
Taking the steps you need to get the skill set, you know, to build the relationships, to build the bridges with different, I'm going to say, departments or, you know, silos within your own company.
Right.
You need to be in that driver's seat and think entrepreneurially about how you complete a project or how you staff a project. Because as you said, the last year or two, you've seen people who have accidentally found themselves entrepreneurs because all of a sudden we can automate, or all of a sudden there is no longer a need or demand for that. And, you know, there you are. What are you going to do? Just, you know, like, I don't know. You could look at certain industries. I mean.
Oh, well, there's been all kinds of shifts.
Like the travel and stuff. Well, you're going to wait for 5 years for travel to New Zealand to come back because you were a New Zealand travel, you know.
Expert,
expert and operator. Or are you going to find something else? Because, you know, you could be sitting on the sidelines for a while until they open the country up.
Yeah. You know, it's a good point, because I think that that protects you in two ways, right? If you're more entrepreneurial in your company, you increase your value to your company, and they might be less likely to lay you off versus somebody else. And if you eventually want to leave and you want to go somewhere, or you're forced to leave, now you've built up your value anyway. So when you hit the streets, you're kind of more ready for it.
Well, I always think of a gentleman I met during a book tour event, and he came up to me and he said, you know, what you talked about really resonated. Here's my story. And he was in his early 40s. He'd been laid off. You know, he's got kids, he's got to go back to work, and or maybe he was early 50s, but anyway, you get the picture. And he said, let me tell you the story. And, you know, after being at this company for like 15 years, they were like, sorry, we're downsizing, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And they said, you've been like awesome, so take all the time you need to clear out your office. And he looked at the owner of the company, said, it'll just take me a minute. He walked in. This is the part I love about the story. The guy still used a Rolodex.
For those people listening, we could explain what a Rolodex. Do they still sell them? Can you go buy a Rolodex still?
You know, I might have to go and look and see if you can take it.
Look on Amazon or something.
He walked in to his office, grabbed his Rolodex, tucked it under his arm, and he said, thanks very much, shook the owner's hand, and left. And
he That's all he needed.
Exactly. He said, Kelly, if I have my relationships, I have everything. And I'm just like, yeah, you do. You have absolutely everything. Because, you know, if you've been that person who's maintained relationships, your network is, it's your career or your business, it's your ambition support system. It's the thing that will help you rather than thinking, ooh, gee, what's my plan B if this career doesn't work out? Think about my network is my plan B. So let's focus on plan A.
Right. And you never know what's going to pop out of your network. And, you know, a lot of people say, I don't know anybody, but it's not really true. I think they did a study like, if you average out everybody, everybody knows about 250 people that know who you are. And if you start there and they each know 250 people, that's like, I don't know, 62,000 some odd people.
Right.
Let's start, right?
Well, I think, you know what, you're absolutely right. I think it's just the way we have a singular notion of what networking is. We have a very siloed notion on who can help us.
Right.
So we think, oh, I don't have a network to get me. And we silo the activities of our life, and we seem to sort
Dump
of
to conclusions. Yeah.
Yes. Label people in terms of their utility. So,
right.
One example I love to give, a friend of mine was asked by his personal trainer, hey, what's going on? Hey, how's it going to work? And rather than just doing the, hey, everything's fine, thanks for asking,
told the truth.
he said, yeah, here's what's going on with work and here's what I'm trying to do. And like specifically told the personal trainer what he was up to.
Right.
And the personal trainer stopped and said, I might just have another client who can help you.
Yeah, see?
And bingo, linchpin introduction that led to the business result my friend was looking for.
Right. Well, that demonstrates the entire concept. You don't know. It's not only that you don't know who knows who, a lot more people know other people than you think.
Wait, and just because it's a personal trainer or
he's out there training all kinds of people. Yeah,
exactly. Or your hairdresser or whatever. But people seem to silo. Oh, it's the personal trainer. What do they know?
Right.
Besides crunches and, you know, sit-ups.
But they're talking to all of their customers, like the bartender.
Bingo.
Right.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. I don't know, working in New York and working in law firms in New York. I mean, every single like member of the admin staff, they all had side hustles. Like you always wanted to talk to them.
Yeah, it's the gig economy, right?
They were doing all sorts of interesting things and knew all sorts of different people. I remember one time, one of the M&A partners at the firm I was at, he got a bit of a shock because it was literally the big client, you know, from an investment bank was in, and everyone was up there kissing the ring. And I was getting texts from this guy saying, oh my God, come and save me from this stuff. And so I walked, there I am, the lowly manager, and I walked up, and this kingpin that everyone was there to see said, excuse me, I have to see someone important. Comes over, big hugs and kisses, whatever. I'm like, they're all staring, go back to work. I go back to my office. The M&A partner comes down later and wonders how I know this guy. And I just calmly looked at him and said, it's my husband's best friend.
Was it? Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
But you knew from the look on their face that they were thinking, how does this like lowly manager of professional development?
Right. Who does she know? Right. Yeah.
Who does she know? Why would they ever ask her anything rather than thinking, oh, she might actually know people just like a whole lot of people. But we seem to stereotype and we pigeonhole who's useful, who has influence, where, you know what? Your opportunities can come from anywhere.
Right. Well, I think people have to recognize that is a human shortcoming. Like that's just being human. And you always put labels on people and value on people. Oh, they don't really, you know, they don't really know. But if you're looking to do something and make a connection, you know, you reach out to the people that you know, and you'd be shocked that, you know, you hit 10 people and somebody's going to have some connection to somebody else. It might take a couple of steps, but you will get to the person that you're looking to get to. And I think that's where people fall short. It's like when you network with somebody, it's like, who do you want to meet and who can you introduce me to, type of a thing. Maybe we won't do business together. That's not the purpose of what we're doing, but it's like, who do you meet? And I think people also, and I don't know what your feeling is about it or what your advice is about it, more importantly, have to get a little bit clearer about what it is they're looking to do through their network. Like, you know, you meet somebody and they're like, well, what's a good example? A mortgage broker. So I'd like to meet people who need mortgages. Well, okay, of course you do. Right. But that doesn't help me. I don't know anybody needs a mortgage, you know, and not right now.
Right. Is that a commercial mortgage?
We can write anything. I said, then you're nobody to me because I can't think of. Right. You got to be memorable.
For business? I think people are afraid to be hyper specific.
Right.
What they know, because they think, oh, if I do that, then they won't have an answer. So I'll just generalize. You know,
right.
Hey, I'm looking for a job. Well, are you looking for a job at Target or at Goldman Sachs? Like, I don't know. I think you're absolutely right. The idea that you need to be hyper specific and not to be afraid to say exactly what you're looking for. And that person, you know, may or may not have an answer in the moment, but they might go away and think about it.
Right.
I also think it behooves all of us to lean into those conversations that we usually flip off. Like the one example I used with the personal trainer. Hey, how's it going at work? My friend could have said, oh, you know, everything's okay. Thanks for asking.
And that was it. Right. Exactly. Right.
We could have just had that superficial rather than, you know what, why not lean into it? Because then you may, you know, you may get an outcome that you weren't expecting. And then I think the third thing I'd say is, you know, we need to take this longer view of what it means to reciprocate, because I think sometimes people hesitate to ask because they think they have to give the immediate exchange in return.
Right.
And the answer is, you don't need to do that.
No, I think it's more of a pay it forward type of a, I help you because you met this other person and you help them and then they help somebody else. And that person comes back to me and said, oh, I heard. That's the way, you know, it's concentric circles kind of.
Well, exactly. Now, there's only be some time in the future that you say to this other person, hey, you helped me 5 years ago and you did this and I've been noticing what you've done in your business. And would this introduction or would this something else, would this help you with what you're doing right now? Okay. So I actually had an intern do that for me 4 years after the fact that when she was my intern.
Really?
Okay. She reached out, said to me, hey, would this be helpful for you? And it was like, yes, having a book talk at Google would be very helpful. Thank you. Smart thinking.
Really?
Intern.
Is that what it was?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
so,
my God.
So, but you know, I'm sure she was still thinking, hey, 4 years earlier, Kelly created an internship for me because I was looking for one with an entrepreneurial organization and she made one on the fly and that helped me with my, you know, my studies and that opened up the opportunity to work at Google and all sorts of other stuff. So that might've been sitting there in her mind, but I think too many people think right in the very moment of the exchange. I also think they forget that sometimes, you know, when someone comes to us and says, hey, I'm looking to change careers and this is my skill set and this is what I have. When they bring that kind of ask to someone like you or me, we may be thinking, oh, wow, I got somebody else in my network I can help because they're looking exactly for this.
Right.
And then we're being this broker and we're like helping this part of our network out.
Now you're helping two people.
And it's like, who's the winner in that situation? I always think when you're the person feeling that you're in the deficit situation, like you're the one with the greatest need, like a job or an introduction or to sell more mortgages, like we joked about before. I think that's all, what behooves you in the moment is always to keep the other person informed and what's happened with the introduction or the lead or the advice. And just circling back and giving those kind of updates and following up, that's in the immediate exchange. That's the minimum you need to do.
Yeah, I think it shows your engagement and concern for the network. I also, and I mentioned to you this, I guess, off the microphone, I think. One of the earlier books I read on networking was a book called The Referral of a Lifetime. It's a, you know, it's a Ken Blanchard series type of book, co-authored, whatever. But it opened my eyes to the fact that if you don't keep in touch with the network that you're building, because we're so bombarded with information on a daily basis from all kinds of people, we go to networking events, whatever, that people won't, you know, you won't be top of mind, and you need to build in a system or systems to not only, sure, if I introduce you to somebody else, yeah, I'm going to reach out and say, hey, Kelly, did you ever connect with that person? How's it going?
No. The other person should tell you that one, but yes.
Well, who did I connect to who? I connected them to you. They should then follow up with me and say, hey, I just went, right, good point.
Because I'm introducing their job, a lot of baby. People. Let's get that clear. That's their networking give. That is, they must have, in my books, if you ever want to get a like referral from someone like me, or I'd say someone like Mitch again, that you must do that. Because you are, what do we want to do? Chasing around the people that we
Yeah, know? No, I'm too busy. I just, yeah, good. Let's straighten that out. So I introduce you to somebody, you can come back to me. But in my early days, I was not as good as keeping in touch with people, like building an email list and stuff like that. I had a client come to me, and I've told this story before, but he was a business client of mine, and he had gotten into some trouble with his business. We were helping him work out some things. And after it was all worked out, and he's doing very well now, he's transitioned his business, he calls me up. Now I'm a business lawyer, but I do a lot of estates and trusts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he calls me up and he asks me for a referral to an estate planning attorney. And I said, first I was silent. And then I was like, that's a joke, right? You're kidding me. He's like, no, I need to do my wills, my wife, my kids. I'm like, yeah, that's what I do. He's like, you do? So, but that was my fault. That wasn't his fault, right? So right there, I was like, well, I'm not and I had dropped the keeping in touch. And I started, and in those days you had to like send out postcards to people. You couldn't just like set up an email system that drops things and, hey, I just wanted to remind you that have a happy Thanksgiving or whatever. Right. And I haven't looked back since. I mean, I don't have a big email list, maybe 3,000 people on my mailing list or something.
That's probably a solid 3,000 as opposed to.
Yeah, exactly. It wavers, right. I don't want everybody on the list. But people don't do that. They forget to, and you can automate things these days. Like you go to a networking event, right? You come back with, and people can, you know, ask themselves this question while they're listening, right? They come back from the event when we used to go, now we're starting to go in person again, and they come back with these little pile of business cards, right? Well, what do you do with those business cards? Right. A lot of people don't do anything.
Right.
So, right. Put them on your email list or get their permission and then call them and have a cup of coffee or whatever. People don't work. That's all the networking is going on after the event.
It's like, this is where your chance to, find a system where you have these periodic updates. And, maybe it is afterwards, after an event, that you send the note to say it was great chatting with you. And maybe you also send the same or similar note on LinkedIn to connect with them, because then you can watch activity, because they may post something or say something that gives a chance for sort of a serendipitous kind of a conversation. And you can get to know them more. Are they a cup of coffee person, or do they want you to send them articles? Like, what is their communication preference? So you can send it that way. I think it also behooves us to remember that well before 2020, we all had messy, complicated lives. And some of us, you want to get together with people when it's really meaningful, and other times little touch points in between work just well. So where is your holiday card list? Where is your, remembering sort of milestones? Where is the times where you're just like, I remember this time of year we always did X. I'm just going to let them know I'm thinking about them. But your idea of a newsletter, those kind of updates where someone, it gives the other person, kind of keeps you top of mind and gives them the chance to reach out when it's something that sparks their imagination on why they need to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I've told people, listen, if there's somebody that you think would be a good guest on the podcast and you haven't talked to them in a while, use it as an opportunity. Hey, reach out and say, hey, I was just thinking of you. You'd be a great guest on my friend's podcast. And then, hey, by the way, we haven't seen each other in a while. Let's grab coffee. And I think there's a lot of that like permission. Oops, I kind of dropped the ball, but I still love you type of stuff that needs to go on,
Well, someone said to me once, what's the key to networking, Kelly? And I said, it's easy. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah. Like, be a genuine person.
Right. Because if you've always been a good, genuine person, the lapse of time and the oops, we haven't talked, I've dropped the ball, doesn't matter. But if you were the person who was a jerk to work with, I don't care if it's been 2 minutes or 20 years.
If you've reformed, they're not going to believe it.
Changing spots, not bloody likely. No.
Right.
So, that's the thing. Like, do you show up every day for your network? And I mean that with the people you work with, you know, in a company, or the people you do volunteer, or the community, or your church, or your synagogue, or whatever, you know, your mosque, whatever it may be, your bowling league, I don't care. Do you show up and behave in such a way that someone would take your call whenever?
Right. Yeah. So, okay. So then let's talk about all the networking that you're teaching and doing. Like, how does... Like, why is this not your normal networking book? How is what you're telling people different than, you know, what other people are saying? What are they doing wrong? All that type of stuff.
I think in many ways, what I do, Mitch, is give people like a sigh of relief that they don't have to create a model. The tenets of networking, regardless of whose book you look at, because if there was one that didn't have the tenets of trust, you know, and reciprocity, and generosity, I'd be surprised. But I give people like a kind of like a relief that they can now look at this differently, and they can create models to build the network they need, rather than being sort of felt that they are stuck in a model that requires them to go and schmooze at events and talk to strangers. Right.
Well, they feel like they're selling. Then people don't want to be salespeople.
Right. And
they
don't have to. Right. And one of the things I say to people is like, we've kind of got the networking equation wrong. We're typically told to go out and do an activity where we hope we meet the people we need and we're going to, you know, achieve some outcome we're seeking. And I sort of say to them, start with what's the outcome you're seeking. Now think about the right people or groups that you need to be tapping into to do that. Now plan your networking activities based on them.
Okay.
Right? Like, what is their need? Because I think too often, you know, and I know you mentioned this, hey, ask them for a cup of coffee. I used to have on my email signature line, I'm a tea drinker who, what did I say? Oh, a tea drinker who rarely eats lunch. And it was my subtle way of saying to people, don't ask me to go for coffee and do not invite me for lunch. My mornings through sort of-
But they can invite you for tea, right?
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's L-A-W to 21000 to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Yeah, but most people want to grab a cup. You know, people want to, you know, these are entrepreneurs.
Part of our society. We grab coffee. We don't grab tea. If we were in London, we'd be grabbing tea all the time.
But even like thinking about it, you know, people are like, oh, I'd love to grab, you know, pick your brain over coffee for 15 minutes. It's never 15 minutes.
No, it's not, right?
Right. And so I'm like, no, right? If you want to pick my brain for cheap, that's why I have a blog. But my productive time is usually mornings through early afternoon. So it's like, no, you can't have that time. I am so much more appreciative when someone asks me a direct question. But so I think a lot of time books and models on networking, they try and create a formula that they think applies to all circumstances. And I'm like, no, your goal in networking is to show the other person that you've thought about them, because only in communicating an outreach that is in their interest or their mode of communication, are they going to listen to you? Right. So if you toss a thing at me that says, hey, I'd like to pick your brain over coffee. Here's a day and time and some places. Let me know that works for you. I can tell you right now, your email is going to go to spam because that does not take me into account. You're using kind of a spray and pray, single size networking formula. I think also what I do that's differently, and I'm thinking this because of a presentation yesterday, where I mentioned this, I think of networking online no different than networking in person. Because right. when we are live online, we are connecting with other people. So yeah. it's the context versus the technology. And that was an eye-opener for people. They're like, wow, I hadn't thought of that. And I'm like, how is in the situation yesterday, I was walking onto a Zoom no different than walking into a lecture hall to hear a speaker. There was no difference.
Right. You save a lot of time traveling. That's about it.
Well, there is that, right? Yeah.
I'm more generous with my time if it's on Zoom. If I'll give a 20-minute consultation if somebody needs something and they want to talk to me, because I, you know, they haven't retained me yet, but you know, to tell me, hey, can I meet you for 20 minutes? I'm like, well, I got to drive 40 minutes to meet you somewhere. I mean, you know, come to my office. But still, coming to my office is a bigger deal. It doesn't take 20 minutes. You know, now Zoom, I could say, listen, I have another call in 20 minutes. Make your best use of your time. Then I got to go. And right. it's a much better way to use things. But I think a lot of people are, it's not that they're disingenuous. I think they have to like figure a way that they can be comfortable at what they're doing, right? You don't have like, success doesn't come with being uncomfortable. You can find a way to network and to talk to people and approach to people and to connect with them and still not feel uncomfortable about it. And I think a lot of people right. shy away from things, you know?
You're hitting the nail on the head. One of my favorite case studies in my book is a guy by the name of Joe Styler. He's in the aftermarket group over at mm-hmm. GoDaddy. Joe started there in an entry-level position. And we actually met because I had been looking to buy a URL and someone said, I got the guy. And they put me in touch with Joe. So we've talked sales. Okay, I think even good salespeople know how to be good relationship builders.
Because for sure.
First thing out of Joe's mouth when we got on the phone was, he didn't say to me, hey, how much do you want to pay for this URL? Because we had an email exchange about the one I wanted to buy. His first words out of his mouth were, what's it for? And then yeah. we started talking about my book. And then he started talking to me about his career. And the next thing I know, I'm saying to him, Joe, I got to interview you for my book. So here's yeah. the deal on Joe, and part of the reason why, you know, the things you're saying, and I think people should really take away.
Right.
Joe is an introvert.
Okay.
Quite the introvert. He has built an extraordinary network that has moved his career from an entry-level role to a very coveted role within GoDaddy. He's done that by proactively investing in his career development, by being really, I want to say, focused and intentional when he wants to meet with and take the time of his coworkers to learn things from them. He's a right. very good mentor and manager, so that he has built a strong team. He's also built a strong team that's gotten poached by other people at GoDaddy. So now he has a diverse network across the entire company. But right. it also gets to your point of being uncomfortable. When Joe identified that he wanted to move into the aftermarkets group, he realized it wasn't enough for him to say, I want to be in aftermarkets and raise his hand. Right. He needed to meet the people internally, and he needed to build the external network in the industry.
Okay.
So he started in advance of, and so this is what I'm talking about, his role, getting a role in aftermarkets. This was like a 4-year process until a role opened up and all the rest of it. So yeah. he was investing in his professional development by going to conferences where he knew no one. And I did mention he was an introvert, right?
Right.
It's an
industry conference, right?
Yeah. So he would go yeah. to these industry conferences of everyone in the aftermarkets industry. Oh, by the way, these are held in Vegas. So if you're an introvert, I think that's like giving
the worst place you can drop an introvert. Yeah.
Exactly. A fast ticket to hell or something. Like, anyway, but he was like, he was willing to put himself into that extraordinarily uncomfortable position. And learn how to navigate it, not to love it necessarily, but to navigate it, because he knew why he was doing it. And it was grounded in this longer term career goal. And I think that's one of the things, when we're dealing with an activity that involves other people, it is going to be awkward. Not because we're not prepared. The other person could be having a bloody bad day.
Right.
And there's nothing we can do about it if, you know, their cat's died, or, you know, they've just gotten, you know, some bad news. Or it's Tuesday and they hate Tuesdays, whatever.
Right.
That's, it doesn't matter. That's not our fault. So it's always going to be awkward. And where there are times that we're feeling vulnerable, how and what are the ways that we can help, you know, kind of control our anxiety? And I think that's where the preparation and the planning and the understanding of why this activity is critical comes into play.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I think not everybody can do what he did and just jump in the pool, you know?
It was well planned jumping in the pool as opposed to just walking over and jumping.
Right. Of course, he didn't just get a ticket and go and then, you know, wet his pants as he's walking in the door. And it was like, oh, look at that guy. He wet his pants.
He said he was, it's not in the book, as he said, he was like glad he was the only person in the elevator as he drove, like rode down to the conference right. floor. Because if he'd been breathe. With others. Right. And as he peeled himself off the back of the elevator after the doors opened, when he saw like the conference room floor of like thousands of people, but he was so determined to make this career change, he made it work.
Right. Well, a lot of that has to do with being determined and really wanting what you do. So what advice do you give to people? I'm sure you've worked with people who want to improve their networking skills and some people have no networking skills, right? So what advice do you give to people as they're getting started in their career or they're just starting their business or whatever to start building not their network, their dream network?
Right.
Well, right? First of all, you differentiated the two.
Right. That's right. Hey, it starts with the place you and I started this conversation. Start with who you know.
Right. I think people are afraid to go. They're like, oh, no, I got to go to other people I don't know. No, that's ridiculous.
Because these are my friends or these are people I used to work with. But they're the ones who know you. They're the ones who trust you. Start with the network you already have. So that would be my first piece of advice. And don't silo your networks. Look at the full, I want to say, smorgasbord that is your career in life and understand that your next career or business or sales opportunity could come from any one of those things. And so being sure that you're clear with telling anyone in your network what you're up to and what it is that you're seeking to do right now.
Yeah. A lot of sales organizations when I was younger and I was getting started in the insurance business and stuff, they would sit you down. You had to do your, what they call it, like your top 200. And you had to write down, go through the exercise of writing down all these people who you know, who they were, why you knew them. Or, you know, are they your relatives? Are your friends? Did you go to college with them? Whatever. How long, when was the last time you spoke to them? So you knew, you know, whatever. And because obviously these people starting, they were all sink or swim. It was all commission-based stuff. So they had to reach out. But I think business owners should do that. If you're starting your business, I think that's one thing that an entrepreneur forgets. They're busy building their business. They might even have a business plan. They're working on their marketing, their product, the people they need to run. They got no customers. So where do you start? You got to start with the people that you know and build an email list and send. Do you know how many stores I go into, Kelly, and I, even local restaurants, and I go in there and they have like, you know, like a little fishbowl, right? They're giving away a lunch. So you drop your business card. Do we still use business cards? I think we do, right?
Yes. Yes, we do.
And you drop your business card in the bowl. And I, 9 times out of 10, I go in there. I say to my friend, whoever I'm having lunch with, I go, you know, we're never going to hear from these people. He's like, what do you mean? I just put my business card in that bowl. I am showing that I am patronizing this business, right? Even if I don't win a lunch, why would these people give away this pot of gold? Because I just raised my hand, right?
Even if you got an email that says, sorry, you didn't win this month, but if you come, you know, because we...
Right, we're still going to give you a coupon.
Exactly.
I've seen so many local businesses go out of business and it's all right in front of them. They're like, well, you know, we couldn't get the business going. These people are coming in, they're filling the fishbowl. What are you talking about? And I would just watch them go to business. Never got an email from them, never got a letter from them, never got a postcard from them, nothing.
Well, I think you'll relate to this. People often ask me, what's the biggest networking mistake, Kelly? And I say, it's the failure to follow up.
Yeah, so big time. Right? 48 hours, 72 hours at the most.
No. But the follow up could be... You know what? Because you can keep following up.
So right, of course.
Not like the, hey, Mitch, thanks for taking the 20 minutes to talk
right,
with me.
Right, that's different. You
know,
no, I understand.
That's just common courtesy. But I'm talking like, let people know. So they connected you with someone. You're like, hey, thanks for so much for connecting me with someone.
Right, keep in touch.
Once you've had the connection, follow up and let know what happened with the connection. And keep people involved in that chain. So the restaurant example, they could just do, hey, thanks for entering the contest. sorry you didn't win. Here's a coupon, or, you know.
Right.
Whatever. Like,
did you know that our lunches are half price on Tuesdays?
Exactly. And then the guy who doesn't like networking on Tuesdays might like Tuesdays because he, you know.
Well, I think what they missed the point. Like, you go to, we've all done trade shows, right? We're giving away an iPad or whatever. Yeah. Kindle, whatever you have, right? You're not giving away the Kindle so you can meet one person. You're doing it so people will fill that fishbowl.
Right.
And you're going to follow up and send them stuff and whatever.
But even just
restaurants, like, a lot of people, totally missed that.
You know, a lot of people don't want to end up, you know, sort of on an email list that they never signed up for, but a one acknowledgement afterwards and then say, hey, if you want to keep hearing about our specials and deals,
just click here or whatever.
Click here, but a follow-up to find out you didn't win.
That's nothing wrong with that. I think who wrote the book, Permission Marketing? Is it Seth Godin or something like that? You know, there's nothing wrong with doing marketing. Look, some professions, you have to get permission.
Right.
Yeah, it's an ethical issue, you know?
Yeah, but the idea, like, yes, you drop that card in, you've now sort of implicitly given that permission, I think, to hear back once if you're the winner or the loser. I don't think there's a problem with that.
I would agree with you, but people miss the whole, miss, it's a disconnect.
Right. Well, and the idea that following up, like, as I say, particularly a lot of times when I'm talking to early career professionals, like new grads and things like that, I'm like, just follow up. And they're like, can I do that? Like, I look at them and I'm like, it's easier and more efficient networking than imagining who, like, trying to find a bunch of more people to contact with. And I have now had a number of people who've reached out to me and go, oh my God, the follow-up. It actually led to an internship because I reached out and say, why didn't I get it the first time? And what was wrong with my application? Can you give me feedback? And they were told nothing was wrong and they would be kept in mind if something came up. And guess what? Something came up and they
were the only person that actually reached out to ask for the feedback. Happens all the time. I remember when I was applying to school, I didn't end up going to this school, but my dad knew, like, one of his partners was friends with the dean of admissions at this one university. Right. So I go and I visited there and had a good time. And I don't know if I was going to go there or not, whatever. It's more of an engineering school. I wasn't an engineering student. And I wrote him a thank you letter, handwritten, wrote him a thank you letter, went, thank you for your time, whatever. He calls my dad's partner and said, listen, Mitch wants to go here. You just tell me he's in. And it wasn't like, you know, some Joe Schmo. It was a real school.
Yeah.
Because he probably never gets letters like that from people.
Right.
You know,
it was like a friend of mine. She said, I took your book and I went into my son, and this was probably like March, April, May, 2020. And her son had a, you know, was going to be graduating and he had a job.
From college?
Graduating from college. And he had, from the internship the summer before, he had a position lined up with one of the big four accounting firms and didn't know a start date. And, you know, was like, oh, I'll just wait and see. And she, like, walked into his room with my book and she's like, this is what you do. You reach out and you find out how the people you're working with, you find out how they're doing. You just check in. You just say to them, Kelly would tell you to do this. She's standing there ready to thump.
Like, don't ask him of anything.
The kid's objecting and she's like, do it. Kid comes
Kelly,
down.
Do you know, this is my frustration in life. You know how many books I've given? My son's going to be a senior this year in college.
Yeah.
My daughter's going to school next year. My little one's still in high school. You know how many books I have given him? Or, you know, whatever, you know, whatever, laws of attraction, networking, that if he doesn't, you can't lay him down, force it down his throat. You got to show someday he's going to come to you, right? And say, hey, have you heard of this book? And you're like, are you kidding me? I gave it to you 8 years ago.
You would have been so much further ahead. But anyway, it was funny. So she said she finally got her reluctant son to follow the advice, you know, follow the Kelly advice.
And then he was like amazed, right?
Oh, of course. Doesn't the people, didn't the people he was coming to work with think he's like the smartest hire ever? He says, Mom, guy emailed me back right away. And this is what he said. And she's like looking at him going,
because nobody else is doing it and he's shining.
He's a superstar and the rising star with a, you know, having not even had a day of work yet.
Right. Well, isn't that what we always say? Like, if we knew now, I mean, if we knew then, or between 20 and 25, what we know now, what we spent 20 years of our life learning through experience, we would be much farther ahead. But I don't know, just like you said about your friend's son, if we were ready mentally to accept what these people that we think, oh, they don't know. I mean, the world's different now. This is my just Dad, you don't understand. The world's different now. Things work differently. I go, mm-mm. I've been on Earth for 54 years. I know a lot. I'm not saying I know everything. I'm not that bold, but I know a lot, and it hasn't changed like you think it has, you know?
No, relationships matter.
People. We're human beings.
Well, first of all, we evolved for social, like to be social. That's yeah. Our brains work better, everything, our health, everything in that regard. While we have different tools to connect with people, I think today relationships matter more than anything in terms of how you thrive and succeed.
Yeah, there's no question. Well, we are bombarded with information, people that want things from us, people that, you know, whatever. And it's daunting sometimes. So I think, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know how you feel about it, but I always feel good when I connect somebody with some, you know, when I have a match and I'm like, you know what? I think Kelly would be great to meet this person. I'm sure I will. The next couple of weeks, you're going to get emails from me and say, hey, Kelly, I was just talking to this. You got to connect with this person. I think you can help them, or they got some great things to say. Just the way I am. And I feel good about connecting people, and I don't expect it back. Do I get it back different ways? Sure. And I'm sure you do too, but you don't do it with those expectations. And I think that's another problem, is that people, they're like, well, I referred out a bunch of people to Kelly. She didn't refer me anything. I said, well, yeah, because she doesn't like you. No. Because she met somebody and then referred them to someone else. It comes around, but it is a long play. You said that before.
No, it's absolutely a long play. You know, you might be referring me, but I might just be the intermediary to helping somebody else out. Like, who's the real person that you're helping, right? That kind of piece on it. Your part that you feel good, you actually do. Endorphins are released. There's thinking about, like almost like a mentoring relationship when we help other people. It's like if you're a runner, you know, they get the endorphins release, you sort of get that runner's high, there is a helper's high.
There's no question about it.
And people get that. But if you're thinking about it in that purely transactional, immediate reciprocity, that's just the wrong way to think about it. You gotta take a longer view.
Yeah, and it's the same thing like with a podcast, right? I've been doing this for more than 2 years. And a friend of mine who also has a podcast told me early on, we had a talk, and he said, listen, you just keep, forget, not just podcasting, but you put out content, and you just keep putting out good content, and you just keep educating people, and just keep sharing ideas and having good conversations. And over time, you will become more pervasive. So, you know, I have conversations with people that are like, yeah, I don't really, you know, do a lot of LinkedIn. I'm like, you don't network with people? Oh, I meet people, I network. Well, I said, well, but don't you want to connect with them on LinkedIn? And then you can see what they're posting, what's going on. Yeah, no, I don't really think that I posted something once or twice, nothing happened. Once or twice?
You know, but that's the same person who goes to a Chamber of Commerce meeting once and says it's useless.
I didn't meet anybody. We get people like that in our chamber. You know, Kelly, we're wondering if you're going to renew your membership. And you're like, well, didn't really do anything for me. I'm like, well, I've never seen you at an event ever.
Right.
Gotta put the time in.
Exactly. And also too, I think the other thing with, you know, kind of the digital footprint, the difference with that is, I mean, when you think about someone referring, like if you emailed me and said, listen, Kelly, I want to make an introduction for you. Here's the person who it is, or here's the opportunity. Let me know if you're interested. And then I'll, you know, facilitate this. The minute you give me somebody else's name or business, what do I do?
Google them. Go to LinkedIn.
Exactly.
Of course.
We Google, we go to LinkedIn.
See who you're connected with. Do they know the same people? Right.
So it's like, all right, is this someone I want to know and meet? Let me verify all this kind of stuff. So, you know, for the person who's looking for referrals and says they don't use LinkedIn, I'm like, you're not helping your network send you referrals.
Right.
Because if you don't have that digital footprint to back up the good shit I'm saying about you.
That's what it is. It's a backup. It's a support for the networking that you do. I try and explain to people.
It's sort of like your reputation, right? Like, so you're getting this, you're trying to sort of like build up your social capital and enhance your reputation. There's the stuff coming out of your network's mouths referring people, but they're going to verify it by going online. And if they find nothing, Or they may then sort of go, jeepers, creepers, Mitch, why are you recommending this person? This is kind of, you know.
This guy's got 28 links on LinkedIn and no picture.
Exactly. And no description.
People don't like, they can't see your face. There's something weird about it, right?
And only Craig Newmark can get away with, you know, a website that looks like Craigslist. Everybody else should have something a little bit more, you know.
He couldn't get away with it today if he launched it. Then he could. You know, you think it can kind of lends itself because it's Craig. Well, but Angie's List doesn't look like Craig's List.
Yeah, but Craig, it's just so
like the classifieds. This really is like a classified.
Yeah, right. And newspaper. I think if they went to change it now, people would be in an uproar because we're so used to it being the way it is. And I think it's part of it sort of.
Well, now it's got je ne sais quoi type of a feel to it.
And hey, and anyone who wants to network with Craig Newmark, just to let you know, he does do customer service on Craigslist every once.
He does the customer service?
Not all the time, but he still does it to keep in touch with the business. And so, yeah, it would be, you know, pick somebody else going like, you know, if Steve Jobs was still alive, if he went and actually, you know, went and worked on the customer service desk and, you know, on the Genius Bar or whatever, you know, at an Apple store. No, Craig does do customer service.
Do you find that a lot of executives at higher levels lose touch with their employees?
You can tell it by the service you
get. Like undercover boss. That's why they made that show, because you don't know anything about your company.
Exactly. But you know what I'm thinking of, people's like, oh, how could you network with someone influential like Craig? Well, you go and look at his social profiles to see the things that he's interested in and the activities he's interested in, because that may be a touch point. And then I just gave you another one. You just have to phone or email customer service at Craigslist every once in a while. You might get Craig.
Yeah. So you just answered my question that I was going to ask you. And that is, how do you, if you have some dream person or people or organization that you want to infiltrate or network with or can learn from, have something to share, whatever, you should start by researching them, finding out what they do, what paths they cross.
Why do they want to hear from you? You know why you want to talk to them.
Right. Why do they Everyone want to knows. Right. Exactly.
Right. So I remember a startup founder reaching out to me because there was an investor at First Round who they knew I knew. And they said, oh, you know, there's this company. They really want to meet this person, this in VC. I know you know them. Can you make the introduction? I said, if you would like to tell me why he wants to hear from them, why their company fits in his portfolio. You know, like if you want to send me that, I will do the outreach and see if there's an interest, and then I will connect you. But I'm not just going to give you his email and connect you. No. So just tell me why.
Well, first of all, your friend's going to ask the same question. Why are you connect? I mean, people ask me this all the time. Do you want to meet this person? I'm like, well, tell me more. Tell me about them. Why would I? Why should I meet them? What are they going to do for me? What can I do for them?
Right. It might be like something awkward. But I also know this VC. I know how, overflowing his inbox and all that kind of stuff. And I also know how he interacts with me, that I usually get an email response within 24 hours from an extraordinarily busy person.
Right. So you appreciate his time.
I'm like, I got some social currency here, because he knows when I show up in his inbox, I'm not wasting his time. So I'm like, don't waste my time. Like, don't diminish my social capital by getting me in your game of wasting his time. Anyway, I said to this person, tell me why he wants to hear from you. It's probably been 8 or 9 years, Mitch, and I'm still waiting for the email.
Never responded back to you? I guess he didn't. Okay. And then if he shows up out of somewhere, you're going to remember that. And you'll be like, I'm not going to give this guy any time.
No, so of course you remember this, but it's not too much. Why do they want to hear from you? So I think if you want to reach a busy person, you like truly imagine their life. That's, you know, the benefit of the digital world. You can probably figure a lot of things out about them and figure out how it is that your product, service, whatever it is, how it helps them.
Right.
Why that should be of interest to them. Why when you reach out, they don't feel like it's just somebody else trying to sell them something, or somebody else, you know, blowing smoke up there, you know what?
Yeah, no, we had a pre-podcast chat before. Yeah. I don't do that really to interview people to figure out whether I want to talk to you. I'm sure, unless you have no personality, but I'm sure that we can make a good episode and good content. I want to know what you're looking to get out of it, how this will benefit you because
if it was totally one-sided, that's like, you know, sort of half the fun, right? Like a good conversation that we're both happy with and engaged with, and we both want to promote. Well, that's a heck of a lot more powerful than just a one-sided conversation.
Yeah, I had a woman who was referred to me through someone else, and she has an autistic son or some sort of special needs challenges, right? For her. And she wrote a book, and she does coaching, or she's starting to work with people who are in that, you know, who have children with challenges. So she wanted to talk to me, and people know I do podcasting. So they're like, oh, can you talk to her and whatever? So it became clear to me that I didn't think she would benefit by being on the podcast. First of all, I couldn't relate to her because my children haven't had those kind of challenges beyond the legal issues that I've helped friends with. To do that for an hour, I don't know how I could do it. And she, although she had a business, it wasn't really. So I said to her,
that's not what she wanted to talk about. She wanted
of course not. She
wanted
to promote her book. Yeah. But what I said to her, I didn't say to her, you know, I really can't help you. I'm really sorry. I don't think this podcast is good for you. I did say, I don't think you'll benefit from being on the podcast, but let me show you how you can connect with other podcasts and use guesting. She responded to me, I don't know, a month or two later and just thanked me. I've been on so many podcasts. I met so many great people.
That's the follow-up I'm talking about. The follow-up I'm talking about.
I remember when she followed up with me, because you're right. I don't get a lot of feedback from other people unless I'm interacting with them for other reasons. They don't really just reach out and say, hey, thanks. You know, but she really appreciated it because she appreciated that I was honest with her, that I didn't think I could really make it a good time with her, but that I wanted to help her and connect it. I connected with all kinds of people, you know, attorneys that work in that area, and they probably connected her with other people, and she's been really going well. So
that's fantastic. I mean, I think that's one of those things. It's where we can give someone a networking solution that doesn't necessarily need to be our time or our connections. We may say, you know what, we aren't the right one. Here's the things we need to do. I also think it's also one of those things where, you know, the person, again, people making a connection, like, ask before you do it, because I probably, like you, have had people dumped in my inbox and someone's like, hey, you two should know each other. And you're like, really? Like, a little description here.
Yeah, you're right. Because this person was, I was asked first. Hey, this is my friend. This is what she's doing. Would you be willing to talk with her? So I said, sure. So,
right. You rather know. Than someone just put in your inbox saying, hey, she'd be a great guest. And you're like, okay, now this is awkward.
Yeah, it happens all the time. I've had a couple of episodes where the people won't know this but I'm thinking, like, 10 minutes into the episode, how in the world am I going to make this interesting for the next 50 minutes? Like, this is like, and you just got to find your way, you know, find your way through. But I do appreciate it. We've been pushing on an hour now. I'm sure you're busy, got a lot of things going on. So I appreciate your time. What's a good way for people to, without it too being intrusive on your life, to, you know, they can get your book, right? It's on Amazon, Build Your Dream Network.
If they go to my website, you will find all of my social handles. You will find the way to get my newsletter. You will find the way to be part of the Build Your Dream Network community, and you'll find an email address to connect with me. And the website is jkellyhoey.co, and that's jkellyhoey.co.
And we'll put a link in the show notes. But yeah, if people want to learn from you, they should get on your mailing list, right? Get your newsletter. Right.
Get the newsletter, get the mail. Well, the newsletter is kind of inconsistent these days. Get the book. Start there.
Okay. Is it on Kindle too? They don't have to get a hard copy, right?
Yeah, it is Kindle. It's on Audible.
Oh, I love Audible.
I'm going to say seeing your background is reminding me of going in and recording the book.
You know, if this was my studio, I wouldn't know how to work any of these buttons.
No,
I have a little mixing board here with a couple of buttons. This thing's ridiculous. Yeah. But now that you said Audible, you sent me your book, which is great because you autographed it and everything. I'm going to get the Audible version. I'll listen to it when I'm driving.
You can listen to that and you can, you know, thump your son over the head.
I'm a listener because I'm always reading contracts and stuff for clients and drafting agreements. It's just, you know, I have people on and they're like, oh no, we don't have Audible versions. I'm like, well, at least send me the Kindle version. So I have to walk around with, you know, it's a lot of, but I do appreciate you coming on, spending time with me.
I can sign a Kindle version for you.
That's a good point.
You got the paperback, and you also get the paperback. That's got the intro from Tom Peters on it. Tom and I are Twitter buddies.
Here, Craig Newmark made a a comment
yeah,
here.
Yeah, well, that's why I mentioned Craig. Book recommendations from people who are friends. Craig and I met because of a hackathon.
Oh, interesting.
He's got a dry sense of humor, and I think that's about the funniest thing on the face of the earth, and I've got a horse's laugh. So we were instantly friends.
Well, I appreciate the book. I appreciate you, you know, Mitch, great connecting with you, and I look forward to our podcast conversation. So it was great, and thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Mitch. What a pleasure. Thanks, Kelly.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.